Thank you, Member. That house should order, please. This meeting that we are having this morning with the Law Society of the University of the Western Cape. I would like to apologize because it won't be a very long meeting. When it comes to the university itself, they are giving an input, making a submission on the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and also the operational plan of the department when it comes to learners with special needs. And I think this conversation with them is long overdue because the submission came to us about 3 weeks ago. So I don't think we'll keep them waiting because we have higher education, basic education, and also Umalusi waiting for the next meeting. So it's over to the university itself. Thank you. Just introduce yourself that we know exactly who you are.
Yes, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Lorenzo Wakefield. I'm from the Community Law Centre at the University of the Western Cape. I'm a researcher in children's rights, and I'm doing this presentation on behalf of the Right to Education for Children with Disabilities campaign, which is a national campaign to promote and realize the right to education for children with disabilities. With me from the campaign that I can see around the room is Barbie Raymond from SALED on the side.
Living Just Hands, so you can see exactly who they are.
And then also Robin Barth from Inclusive Education Western Cape, Kirsty McLean from SLED, which is Sign Language Interpreting on the side, and that's what I can recognize from the campaign over here right now. Firstly, I want to say thank you to the Honourable Chair and to the committee for allowing us to do this presentation. We did a written submission on the annual performance plan as the Chair indicated about 4 weeks ago, and we've asked to do an oral submission. I have since, through sadly my laptop wasn't working with this projector and therefore we cannot put the screen up, but I'm hoping we could follow in the presentation that we handed out at the last meeting on 17 April. It's still the same presentation that I will be doing. So to start off with, so just as it was, first I would like to mention the statements made by Honourable Smiles, Honourable Gina, on the 20th of March 2012, at the end of the first meeting where the DG of Department of Basic Education was in the room, about the right to education and for children with disabilities and inclusive education as such. In the last meeting on the 17th of April, we've seen more input from honourable members of this committee, including Honourable Lovemore and Honourable Makubele, around education for children with disabilities and inclusive education. And we've also seen the Department of Basic Education's response in relation to this, which is commendable. We received a handout which was done by the Inclusive Education Directorate of the department, and I will be speaking to this in my presentation as well. To you this morning. So my presentation is not really structured around the written submission, largely because we were deciding to focus on the 5 programs of the Department of Basic Education's annual performance plan, and we decided to dissect that a bit more and see what it actually means and how it speaks to the right to education for children with disabilities and how it speaks to inclusive education for children with inclusive education in general. So, I would be, in my outline, be speaking a short introduction and then speaking to only 4 of the 5 programs, which is Program 2, Curriculum Policy Support and Monitoring. Program 3, Teachers, Education, Human Resources and Institutional Development. Program 4, Planning, Information and Assessment. And Program 5, Educational Enrichment Services. So I'm just going to be speaking to those. I'm just going to make very one or two important, what we thought would be, should be prioritized within the Department of Basic Education. So, as a first place, in the introduction, we've noted that in the annual performance plan, there is a general omission to address education for children with disabilities in relation to special schools. We've noted this, honourable members have noted this in past meetings as well. And an example in this regard, it speaks, for example, to scholar transport, which even though it is a strategic priority for 2012 and 2013 within the department's plan, it doesn't really address it substantially or doesn't put anything concrete about how they're going to realize transport, because this also serves as a great barrier for children with disabilities because they cannot access public transport and private transport is quite expensive. With that, we also want to agree with Honourable Fuchi, the Deputy Minister, who in the first meeting stipulated the importance of promoting inclusive education, and we have mentioned that we do have policies in place to address this, and White Paper 60 is a good example of this. On the other hand, we also find it difficult to agree with the DG, Mr. O'Brien, in the first meeting, who stipulated that inclusive education and education for children with disabilities runs through this entire plan, largely because we don't have a complete inclusive education and education of children with disabilities system yet. We have White Paper 6 that seeks to address this in the long run, but as it currently stands, the system is not inclusive. We would like it to be, and we probably would like to see, once it's fully implemented, that then we can sort of agree that annual performance plan has to address education for children with disabilities as well. You've also seen at the last meeting on the 17th of April, where one of the deputy DGs, I think it was, what could have been a chief director in the department, but the annual performance plan structure doesn't make room for inclusive education of children with disabilities, and we thought that's extremely concerning to us. If it doesn't, because we are marginalizing a group that has huge barriers to access education. And in that regard, we realized that we need to make right now provision in the annual performance plan and the strategic plan to address inclusive education a bit more, and that just has a broad outline. Now, looking at Program 2, Curriculum Policy Support and Monitoring, on page 30 of the department's annual performance plan, they mention their plans in relation to screening, identification, assessment, and support, which is known as CS. CS currently addresses children who have barriers to learning, and the purpose of it is to identify and support these children. Therefore, central to the implementation of inclusive education and to create and implement a system geared towards improved systems for learner performance, as mentioned in the strategic priorities of the annual performance plan. Now, it's notable that the CS policy has been in place for a number of years. It's been introduced in 2008, and right now, currently, we are aware that parts of it is being revised. I think it's about two forms that are currently being revised, and obviously this is a cornerstone for the support strategy of the Department of Basic Education. It mentions the piloting of screening guidelines in the action plan milestones, and we just wanted a bit of clarity on what the department actually refers to when they speak to piloting, because like I've mentioned, CS has been in place since 2008. There are schools that have been trained on the strategy. Is it something different? Are they envisaging something different? Are they only speaking to the two forms or the amendments to the CS strategy? Because largely we also saw in the annual performance plan on page 30 that if you look at the year for 2008 to 2011, there's nothing mentioned with regards to what has been done on the SEER strategy, which we do know things have been happening. There's educators that have been trained on it. There are districts that have been trained on it, but it doesn't speak to anything in that regard in the annual performance plan. What we do see is that the department once has a target of 100 schools nationally to be trained on the SEERs, and we think that this is completely unrealistic. And what has been done, one, and but it's also unacceptable that only 100 schools are in the plan for this year. If one, for example, just to show how unrealistic this figure is, in the Western Cape alone, there are 108 full service schools, and all of whom have had training and exposure to CS already, and this does not even speak to the other schools as such. If you look at the presentation which Dr. Moses Simulani or the department gave in the 17th April meeting, they speak to district support and saying that 81 districts are going to be trained on the CS strategy. And once again, this is not what the plan says. The annual performance plan says 50 districts for the year. But the annual the strategic plan does say that, I think it's by 2013, at the end of the strat plan, 82 districts would have been trained on CS. Which that's in line with then the strategic plan, but not quite in line with what they set out for this year, which was 50 districts. So we, in this regard, think that the department should reconsider training, especially for schools, considering that that even the inclusive education directorate of the department mentioned in a seminar once that they were looking at training at least one teacher in each school on CS for this year. And that obviously does not correlate to the 100 schools nationally to be trained on CS. Okay. Program 3, Teachers, Education, Human Resources. We, as a campaign, would like to highlight a grave concern in relation to principals' performance contracts. We raise a concern about this because whilst we think it's necessary to hold principals accountable, performance cannot only be measured in terms of academic achievement, but must also take into account the provision of support and the ability to effectively meet individual learners' needs, failing which there will be no incentive to cater to children who do require extra support, as it will directly affect a principal's performance contract and bonus. Performance contracts thus thrive really in the face of implementing White Paper 6. So we really think that these needs to be the performance contract and bonuses really need to be the criteria for it need to be relooked. We think it's important, but we need to relook it to not solely be based on the annual national assessment results, but largely about how diversity is also managed within the school.
Lorenzo, it's just time, you're a bit slow.
Okay, sorry, I'll go a bit faster. Mm-hmm. Then also the lack of any, the plan mentions there's a lack of any skills development and training for teachers on inclusive education. I've mentioned this, so I'm not going to go back into it. We have mentioned that the directorate has said that they want to train at least one teacher per school, and we think that's commendable right now for this year. Program 4. Now, it speaks to the planning information and assessment. And if you look at, there's a strategy to address oversized classes and children with disabilities that require support. Now, despite oversized classes being addressed in the sector milestones for 2012 and 2013, there's no evidence of any actionable targets or performance indicators to address this. This issue impacts broadly on many of the programs, including, for example, the ability of teachers to provide adequate support to learners and manage diversity in large classes. It's another factor which disincentivizes schools from admitting learners who require extra support. One of the strategic objectives of this program is then to create an enabling condition for successful teaching and learning. there's lots of mention on pages 25 about middle school learners. There's performance indicators for 13 to 14 year olds. And how many of the question is how many of these learners that are out of school are learners actually with disabilities? There's also a low percentage of learners in the age-appropriate grades, and that speaks to the inability of the system to address the barriers to learning and the learning needs. If one, for example, look at the matric results of 2011, only 33% of those that enrolled in schools at the start of the 12-year period matriculated, showing that at least 2 out of 3 children have either dropped out at some point or have not completed schooling within the 12-year framework as it should be. And this low percentage target shows that we are not focusing on identifying barriers to learning at the entry level already, which is a concern that we would like to raise. Program 5, before I continue, states to educational enrichment services. And as I mentioned, in the start, transport constitutes a huge barrier to access education for children with disabilities. Public transport doesn't adequately cater. Primary is expensive. Special schools are few and far in between, especially in rural areas. And this, that means transport is a barrier to access education for children with disabilities. Even though the program perhaps doesn't speak to this at all, there's no budget allocation for this, but I'm presuming it should also be done with the Department of Transport as well. So it can't be done solely by the Department of Basic Education. And an interesting fact on Program 5 is that approximately 10,000 schools are being targeted for the participation in cover life certificates. This is actually 100 times more the number of schools being targeted to receive training on CS. Now, we acknowledge the cultural and artistic endeavors, and we acknowledge that this is important to holistic learner development, but the glaring difference in the number of schools targeted for CS comparatively to our efforts shows a poor commitment by the department in supporting learners and to creating systems and strategies conducive to learner performance. Now, in conclusion, we also want to acknowledge the positive initiative undertaken by the Department of Basic Education to improve quality and basic education. I mean, the National School Nutrition Program speaks to this. The low and no fee school fee initiative, especially in certain special schools as such. The reports that NEDU have published really shows a real insightful, it shows real insight to the challenges in implementation of basic education. And we would like to if any comment by the department on how they're implementing the recommendations of the NEDU reports. Also, health screening, as you mentioned in the 17 April meeting at certain schools, those are all positive initiatives which you would like to take into account and commend the department on. In relation to recommendations, we only have at this stage two key strategic and what we thought would be key strategic or priority recommendations, and that is, as a matter of urgency, we need the CS document to be finalized. We also asked the department to revise the targets for training of schools and districts on CS for this year, as attendance school is not acceptable really at this stage. And we also want the department to think about increasing educators' capacity, not just in numeracy and science, but also in managing diversity in classes as well. And this is all forming part of consistency in learner performance. And largely, we hope to think that we at least need the department to also relook the criteria for principal performance contracts and not solely be based on annual results. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Lorenzo, for the input you gave. We are not going to question it, but we'll look at your findings and recommendations, your concerns, and recommendations, and add it into our report. Because we also noted, you know, the 100 that you're speaking about, that has to be the 100 schools where teachers should be trained, and we're making it part of our report. And then when it comes to NEDU itself, at the moment, there's a bill on NEDU. So it's not just really a unit within our department. I just want that clarified. And then what can happen there, we are waiting on the bill to come to Parliament, and then once the bill is here, we will invite you. And whatever is here, we have the acting DG of Higher Education present within our meeting, and we do have, she's sitting right next to you, and we do have the chairperson. And this, and there are quite a number of our members that's in higher education, and this we will share with them too. Thanks a lot, Lorenzo. Thanks for the input. Right. Thanks. I would like you to leave now, because the place is very small today. We couldn't get a bigger venue. Thank you. Unless you find a place somewhere at the back to sit. Yes, everyone can have tea before we start. Listen, let us make just a short. Can you just a minute? Just put up this here. Yes. Just a second.